Hello and welcome to the Pink Bike Podcast. My name's Sarah Moore, and today we've got a special episode for you with Gracie Hemstreet. Gracie is the 19-year-old from the Sunshine Coast on British Columbia who just made history as the first woman to ever complete a top-to-bottom run at Red Bull Hardline in Tasmania. Gracie's dad is one of the founders of the Coast Gravity Park, and so she grew up chasing the likes of Curtis Robinson and Dylan Dunkerton on the monster jumps of Coastal Cruise before bursting onto the international downhill scene in the junior category with a fifth place in her first ever World Cup race. She followed that up with a third place at World Championships in Val d'Isol, and then she won the overall in just her second year of juniors. We chatted about what her process was like to make it through the Red Bull Hardline course and tick off one massive feature after another, what her goal was coming into the event, whether we'll see her at Red Bull Hardline in Wales one of these days, what it's been like to have Greg Minnaar join Norco Factory Racing, and what her goals are heading into her second year of downhill racing in the elite category. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Fresh off making history as the first woman to complete a top-to-bottom run at Red Bull Hardline, Gracie Hemstreet, welcome to the Pink Bike Podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, looking forward to chatting with you. What's the reception been like from people at home so far about your win or your... do you consider it a win when you didn't have like a dedicated women's category, or what are you looking at? Is that?
I look at it just, I don't know. Completing it.
Yeah.
but we made it.
So what's the reception been like?
Pretty much every person I've seen has said congratulations. So
yeah.
It's pretty funny. I live in a very small town, so I pretty much know everybody.
Everybody knows who you are, and they know about Red Bull Hardline.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty pretty cool to live in a place like that where you are known and people know what happened over the weekend.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've also had like mainstream media that have been interested, it sounds like the CBC and...
Oh, yeah. That was funny. I didn't even realize that it was live, like that thing. There was a countdown. They're like, "Hey, Gracie, are you ready?" I was like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah. Yeah, but it's pretty cool to see when mountain biking gets kind of that widespread coverage from like everybody in your town and, you know, the CBC calling you. And has there been anything in your career, like you won world championships or came third in world championships your first year junior? Was there any kind of reception like this, or is this like the biggest thing that you've accomplished so far?
I'd say this is one of the biggest things I've definitely accomplished, but I'd say this is it.
Yeah, so far. But you're only 19, right?
Yeah
So you've got this can be the first accomplishment, but you've got many more to come, I'm sure. Yeah. So you weren't actually on like the initial rider list for Hardline in Tasmania, right?
No I wasn't.
So when did you actually receive the invite?
I inquired to my Red Bull manager, Gracie, that I was like interested like a month prior, which was probably too late.
Oh, but wow.
I was like not, yeah, I don't know. It was like my goal to just like go there and do a full run and like explain it, like everything to her. And she's like, "Okay, yeah, I'll check it out. I'll see what's going on." And then like a week and a half later, she called me. She's like, "Dude, you're in." I was like, "Oh my God, no way."
Wow.
Yeah.
The initial rider list, I think, went out like several months before the event, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Most riders have been preparing for this for quite a while, right?
Yeah. I was a bit off the ball on that one, but it ended up going
good. Yeah, and there was a space for you as well. I think there were a couple of people who kind of were in front of you on the line, maybe like Valley Hole and Casey Brown were on the initial invite list. Yeah. And so they didn't come. So did that like free up a spot for you to go?
Yeah, I think. Casey, she got injured, so she couldn't go. And then I think Valley, yeah, she just decided not to. And then I guess I got one of their spots. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're kind of some people are being invited and not wanting to go like Valley. And then you're kind of the opposite. You're like, hey, I haven't been invited, but this is something that I'd really like to do. So like, talk me through that. Like, where is your brain at that you're like, this event is the hardest in the world, but I want to go before my World Cup season.
Yeah. Before the World Cup season, that was like a bit iffy for me, but yeah, I just kind of try to play it safe. But yeah, seeing like the last couple of years, like Jess, she's been super sick, like pioneering everything. And yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to go and be like maybe the first women to do a full run ever. That was like my goal or whatever. But yeah, I didn't actually think it would happen. So
so that was in the back of your mind, though, that you were like, hey, I could be the first woman to do a top to bottom run.
Yeah.
And you accomplished your goal.
I know. It was crazy. I was like, no freaking way. Yeah.
So do you know Jess Blewett pretty well, or did you follow her when she kind of went to the hard line in Wales? Like,
I just was like watching Pinkbike, Instagram, all that stuff. I don't really know her too well, but yeah, hopefully we'll become better friends in the race season. And yeah,
now that you're both racing in the same category, and obviously both like big jumps and gnarly downhill courses.
Yeah, exactly.
So you, a month before the event, you kind of get all your logistics ready to go. What else like went into preparing for this event?
To be honest, I didn't do much. I pretty much booked my flight. I wasn't even like, it was my first time on my downhill bike. I'm like, a month too. So, and wow. I also knew like new brakes because we're on TRP this year, and I didn't run them before the event. So that was kind of gnarly. And then we switched to Fox this year. So the suspension was pretty new to me as well. But I really like all the components on the bike and stuff. So it worked out good.
So did you do like a couple days of riding before when you got there, or did you kind of show up, track walk, and then get on your new bike at Hardline?
Yeah, me and my dad, we went like a week early just to, I don't know, vacation or whatever, just hang around in Hobart. And we track walked like a couple days before the actual track walk. We hiked all the way to the top from the bottom. That was a mission. we walked it then, and I was like, oh man, like, I was pretty like, oh geez, it's massive, especially like the last jumps. But seems when you get on your bike, it's way easier.
Right. Sometimes it's like impossible to actually walk a course. Oh, like,
it's way more intimidating. You're like, no way. Like, even like Val de Sol, like the World Cup track, you're like, I can't even walk down this. Like, how are we supposed to ride?
Yeah, or one of the only courses that I've like walked up and down is the Mont Saint Anne one, and you've got like the CB Smith drop, and it's like, how do you actually track walk right down that, or do you go around it?
You gotta go around.
Yeah, it's not a luge run.
Yeah.
So at Hardline, was there stuff that you were kind of walking around and scoping from different angles?
Yeah, especially like the cliff drop. And oh, the cliff drop was terrifying. When I was
walking, you just walk off the cliff drop.
Yeah. No, that was definitely the scariest feature, I think, for me. And it was one of the last ones I hit too. I was like, oh, like watching people hit it, it didn't make you feel better about doing it at all.
And the cliff drop, was that the one that you needed like pretty slow speed to do?
Yeah, it was like the more technical, like you're turning into it, and then it's a downhill ramp. It's the one before the log jump
jump where you exploded your rear wheel.
Yeah, that one.
So you just done the scariest feature, the cliff drop at that point, and then got into the, were you nervous about that log feature at all?
Yeah, I was definitely, yeah, just those two were definitely the scariest ones.
And linking them together as well.
Yeah, my first hit, I was following Tommy G and Adam, and Oh my goodness. Yeah, I just like, I hit the first little rock thing for the first time before the drop, and then I hit the drop, and then I was like, okay, screw it. I'm just gonna go for the jump now because I landed both those. So yeah, I just, apparently you need to break, and I didn't break, and then I pulled that too. So I way overshot it and then landed on rocks.
Yeah. They didn't make the track quite wide enough for you.
Yeah, no, apparently not.
But after that, you dusted yourself off. It looked like it was quite a painful fall. Like, you probably didn't feel that it great after it.
It was weird. I, like, crashed, and I was like, oh, my God, how am I okay right now? Like,
right,
I was just like, I had a couple of bruises, but that was it. I was pretty keen to do it again. I would have went up and did it again if my bike wasn't broken, but the next day I conquered it first go. So
was that on the first day that you kind of ticked off those features?
That was the second day. Yeah.
Okay. So first day, like, kind of how did you like walk through the different features? Like, you did the track walk. Were you kind of staying together with like the group of like all the riders, like all the women, all the men, or were you kind of riding with like the women, or how did that kind of work out?
Yeah, the first day, me and the girls, we all just, it was insane, actually. We checked off, like, half the track, and we were, like, all behind the boys, which, they literally just spent everything first go. It's pretty crazy how they can just do that. But, we were just doing it all together. It was super fun. It was definitely my first experience doing that kind of thing, and, it was fun. And some of the guys hung back, and we could follow them into some of the bigger drops at the top, and it was super fun.
And so you had three free riders. So you'd had Hannah Bergman, Cammy, and Haz, and then you had like the racers, so you and Lou Ferguson and Tawny. How did you kind of, did you look at things differently, or were you kind of pulling each other into different things, or how did you kind of work together on around the course?
Cammy was definitely the one that hit most of the features first. She sends it. It's sick. But, we kind of just all looked at it together, and we all chatted about every feature and what we're feeling about it, what kind of speed we're going to pull, or, I don't know. It was super cool to work with those girls. We all kind of think the same, so that's good.
Had you ridden with any of them before?
Not really. I've ridden with Hannah at her jump event once, and not really.
So is it different, like, following people into these features? You need to, like, for me, I don't do anything this big, but I'm like, I need to trust the rider who rides similar to me in order to go off things that intimidate me. Or you kind of, did you have that in the back of your mind? Would you rather follow somebody off stuff? Did you want to know the person that you were following off a drop? Yeah. Or were you just like, okay, this person's got it, I'm going to follow them next time.
I followed multiple different guys off pretty much every feature. Never the same. I followed Sam off some things, and Baxter, and Tommy G. I whoever was there, I was like, can I follow you? It worked out good.
And you didn't have any close calls following people? It was...
following Sam off these like double drop to the corner, all the boys were shrouding. The one into the corner I overshot and basically landed in the corner. Sam was a bit fast, but
And that's Sam Blakenstop?
Yeah.
So he also overshot it, or was it you were
I don't even know. I thought you had to pull up, but you had to push down, so I didn't do it very good, but
So what was it like to hit all these things for the first time? Was it like exhilarating, or adrenaline, or scary?
It's so exhilarating. It's like the sickest feeling. Like, you're scared of it, and then you're like, okay, that's it. Like, I'm just going to go. And then, you do it, land it, and you're like, okay, I want to do it again.
So day two, at the end of the day, was that when you hit that last jump, the biggest jump?
Yeah.
And were you worried at all about the wind?
Not really. I yeah, after kind of just hitting everything else and like the cliff drop and all that, yeah, I don't know. I wasn't too scared about hitting the last features just because like I'm more used to that kind of stuff from like Coast Gravity Park, and yeah, it's just so high speed that, yeah, I don't know. I feel more confident hitting big, fast, straight jumps.
Yeah, so those were kind of – somebody was kind of breaking the course up into like three parts because there was like three different kinds of geology and dirt and technical parts throughout the course. But did you kind of feel like it was almost three separate parts that you were tackling?
Definitely. Like the first to like – yeah, the first section of right after – it ended right after like that long jump. And then there was like the motorway bit, like the whole middle section was so fast and just no brakes. And like, yeah, it was super fun. And then.
We didn't know your brakes anyway. So why would, you know, you don't want to use those brakes that you don't know, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then like the loose, dusty berms just before, yeah, the end section with the container drop and all that. Yeah.
So were you death gripping the final
jump?
Oh
my God. Yeah. I thought I landed in my like race run or my full run. I like before the container drop, like the little, it's like a couple feet. Like it's a little step down into a berm and then another little step down. But in the first little one, I almost threw my hands off. I was like, oh my God, how am I supposed to land this container drop? So I literally like, I couldn't feel my hands. They were like numb, but oh my God. Yeah, off the container drop, I thought I was crashing. And then after, oh my God. Yeah, I got a clip from a video guy from the last jump. My hands like rolled forward and it was literally like my fingertips on the bars.
Wow. So because of the impact of landing something that big, like you kind of need to death grip because you need like all of your hand strength.
Yeah, I feel my hand grip isn't like the best, but it's not like the worst. Like, I don't know. It's just really, really hard.
Yeah. Have you ever experienced anything like that on any jumps that you've done before?
No, not jumps. Like Val de Sol and like most of the World Cup tracks, your hands feel like that at the bottom, but you're not really hitting any big stuff that's like, oh, am I going to hold on when I land? So. Yeah.
And what about your neck? Were you sore from like?
I definitely had some big head slaps for sure. But yeah, no, my neck held on.
Yeah. Did you spend a lot of time in the gym this winter?
Yeah. I'm definitely hitting it hard right now. So yeah,
hopefully it plays off. Yeah. And have you been able to ride kind of throughout the winter on the Sunshine Coast, or you've had some snow?
Yeah, actually, I'm about to go ride after this, but. Yeah, I guess I'm going to go check out what the snow is, but I think we're going to try and do some downhill laps today. So, yeah, nice. That'd be cool. There was snow at the Gravity Park a couple days ago, but I'm pretty sure it's all gone now because it's been sunny. So
nice. Yeah. And that's where you do most of your training for the World Cup season, is at the Coast Gravity Park?
Actually, in, like, Roberts Creek. Mm-hmm. It's a guy, Forrest Riesco. He races World Cups as well. Mm-hmm. He's from the coast. And he's built some pretty sick trails in Roberts Creek. They end in Gibson, so it's a long lap, but it's worth it. It's pretty
sick. It gets that hand strength there.
Yeah, definitely.
So when you were looking at all those features, are you the kind of rider that likes to kind of look at everything from each angle and see some people hit it? Or are you kind of like, let's get this over with quickly and move on to the next feature?
Most features, I'm just like, I watch the guys and I'm like, hey, I'm going. Like, I don't really like to think about it too much, but I basically just hit it right away. I try to. But,
yeah. And then the next time you do it, is it less intimidating or is it just as hard the second time to go through these things?
I don't know. It's kind of just as scary sometimes, but I'm like, okay, I've landed this before. Like, I can do it.
So I can do it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you won the Rider of the Week award.
Yeah.
So that's voted on by all of the riders that are there, right?
Yeah.
And so what did that feel like? That
was pretty cool. I wasn't expecting it. To be honest, I didn't even no one texted me that there was a vote, or I missed it or something. I don't even know. But
oh, you didn't actually even vote for anybody?
No, I didn't even. I felt bad. I was like, hey, when did this even happen?
But you might have only won by, you know, one vote. It would have, you voted for somebody else, though.
I felt super, yeah, super fortunate to get that. That was cool.
And there was no women's category, right? So, like, you guys were kind of lumped in with, like, all the men.
Yeah, I guess so. I was kind of confused about that, but I guess it made sense because I didn't know if the girls would even compete.
Right, yeah. Yeah, because it was kind of like a progression camp that...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They were hoping that somebody would do a top-to-bottom run, but maybe not anticipating that it would happen.
Yeah. So hopefully the next one there'll be a girls category.
Yeah, because there's definitely – there was a lot of prize money for the overall winner.
I know.
Like, I could have had some of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah, so you weren't actually planning on going to Tasmania before the event, right? Like, you were just
– No. Yeah.
You were like, okay, I'm in, I'm going. And then your dad kind of came with you. And did he kind of like help you look at lines? Because he's like the main – is he the main builder at the Coast Gravity?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, so.
So I imagine he's like a really good rider as well?
No, he doesn't actually
ride. He's a really good builder.
Yeah. He like rode moto and a lot when he grew up. He still does, but yeah, he likes more moto for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he was able to kind of look at the features with you the first time and
he knows that stuff. He's kind of smart with that kind of stuff, but he's definitely a good person to track walk with.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of had a pre-track walk and then you did the track walk with the other women and the rest of the field. Mm-hmm. It sounded like Matt Jones was pretty worried that you were gonna beat him.
yeah apparently it was so funny. I watched Wins Win TV. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't know how much time it was. I think it was like 10 seconds.
It was very close. Like, I want to say
5 seconds. I don't even know.
You said that you kind of didn't push as hard as you would in kind of a downhill race in between the features.
Yeah,
right?
I know. I could have been going faster, but I just wanted to make it down. So
do a top to bottom run and. Yeah, it was pretty cool to watch you go under that arch on the – like, I just watched the replay because it was the middle of the night here. But, like, it was like watching history being made, right? You were the first woman to ever go and do the entire course. So that was, pretty, like – I was, like, almost choked up, you know, watching this happen.
I got goosebumps. I was like, oh, my God. That was absolutely cool. Like, in the moment, I was like, okay, that was sick. But then after it, like, kind of kicked in, I was like, okay, that was actually really cool.
And then were you able to watch Lou Ferguson's run from the bottom of the hill?
I wasn't looking at the screen, but I watched it after.
Right. So you didn't know when she...
I just heard the commentating. I was like, oh, no. When she did the front flip, I was like, oh, shit. But yeah.
And she'd only had like one crash throughout.
She didn't even crash. I didn't. Yeah. It was insane.
She saved them all for her finals run.
I guess. Yeah, unfortunately.
And did you have other crashes like throughout the practice days?
No, I only had that one when my tire exploded. And then the morning of the finals day, I crashed twice in the same spot both runs just because it was like super it rained that previous night and morning, so it was like super clayey and muddy, and I just kept overshooting this jump into a berm and then just kept like biffing it in the berm. So thankfully it was like way drier in finals run.
And do you think some of the like a lot of the other women, they only had that last jump left to tick off, right? And they would have been able to do the entire – they would have been able to be on the live feed.
Oh, totally. Yeah, the wind was just so hectic. Like, I wasn't, like, certain that I was going to hit, like, the last jump in my finals run because the wind was so bad that day. But, literally pulled as hard as I could and didn't look very good, but I made it over the jump. So
yeah, that's what counts, right?
Yeah.
And so that there was six of you, two of you finished or were able to do the mm-hmm. finals run, but it sounds like if there'd been like if was there just a little bit like if there'd been a little bit more time, they would have been able to hit that last jump, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Or like, yeah, they literally just needed to hit the last jump. It was
yeah,
so annoying.
That was...
The wind was not, yeah, it was annoying. But yeah, if we had more time, they definitely would have checked it off for sure.
Yeah, because that's the what the rule was kind of coming into it was if you do a full top to bottom run, then you can do.
Yeah, they told me, yeah, they told us all that like the first day or like, no, the second day. And I was like, okay. So then I went up and did a top to bottom run. And then no other girl had done it yet. And then they were just waiting until the next day. But the wind got – it was so bad the next day. Like, I didn't even do a – like, the last jump before the finals run because it was, like, so gnarly.
Right. So you did it on the – you did it early enough in the week that then you didn't have to do it when the conditions were not as good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was pretty lucky with that one. But, yeah. Yeah, it sucked. I was really sad for them because they all got like
yeah, we got Tawny Seagrave on the Red Bull broadcast though,
yeah,
which
I know.
Was nice.
Yeah, she's super good at commentating.
Yeah,
yeah, it would have been better if she was riding for sure.
Totally.
Oh well, next time.
Yeah, and had you ridden features that were that big before, or was there anything comparable to things that you had ridden before, or was this totally all kind of bigger and newer than anything you'd done before?
I'd say it's probably the biggest features I've ever hit. Because, like, the biggest jump at the Gravity Park is, like, oh, I don't even know, like, 40 feet or something.
Wow.
I might be totally wrong on that one, but, yeah, no. These are definitely the biggest ones.
It felt
sure.
almost like they were twice as big.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. And how does it compare two racing World Cups? Like, you have a whole 2 years or a year and a half, I guess, of juniors and then a year as elite. So how does it compare to kind of like the build up to the race? Like, it sounds like you have a bit more time, but then also kind of how hectic the finals run is as well.
Yeah, I liked it. Like, the vibe was so it was so much better than World Cups. Like, no one's like at World Cups you're like keeping to yourself and like basically just I don't know. You're not practicing with – well, I don't practice with anyone, but you don't usually practice with your competitors because, you're out there to win. And, yeah you don't want to really help anyone else. But at Hardline, yeah, it was insane. We literally worked together and, yeah, we talked about it, like, eating breakfast, eating dinner. Like, yeah, it was insane. It was super sweet.
Yeah. I guess probably a lot of teams have, like, multiple guys on the team and so they probably share more with each other, but often it's like when you're on a woman on factory team, you're the only woman, so you're kind of doing all that stuff in a bit of a bubble, right?
Definitely. Yeah. And like Tana, she was saying how she she obviously has Phoebe on the team and she loves having another girl because they can like talk with each other, and it reminded her of Hardline because like it's kind of the same thing. So
yeah. So you're looking for another woman to join Norco Factory Racing?
Yeah, maybe.
So, and you've got Greg Minar as a teammate now?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Have you talked to him at all or kind of?
Yeah, we've had a few meetings on Zoom and stuff, but yeah, he's insane. I'm super excited to learn from him and just get to know him better. We're having a team camp pretty soon in Portugal, so that should be super fun.
So you get up to speed on your bike that you've tested at Hardline now?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You know, some riders are talking about, you know, adding a PSI to their tires or that kind of thing, but you probably just – did you run your bike like you would at a World Cup or?
We actually run – it was quite a bit stiffer. Like, my fork was – 8 PSI stiffer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was quite, yeah, we were going to put, yeah, I don't know. It was definitely, and the tires were, like, stiffer as well, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have a mechanic that went there with you?
Yeah, I did. Thank goodness. I wasn't going to, and then I did because I. I'm glad I did because I definitely had some technical issues.
Yeah, and you were riding kind of brand new components that you didn't know as well. Yeah,
totally. That's it.
And is that a mechanic that's going to be working with you throughout the World Cup season, or?
Not that one. His name is Nick. He was just from the Norco North Shore store in Vancouver. But yeah, I have a new mechanic this year. His name is Brett. He's from Squamish. So.
Oh, cool. From Corsa.
Yeah, yeah.
Very cool.
Corsa, yeah. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he seems like a rad dude. So.
Excited. For sure. And what does your calendar look like this year? You're doing the World Cup circuit? Are you doing any kind of crank work stops or Canadian races?
Yeah, I'm doing the whole World Cup circuit and crank works Whistler. And then I think that's it.
Are you going to do headline Wales?
Maybe, yeah. We'll see. We'll see. You'll see how my season's going. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Because that event, I think, is it right before Fort William or right around Fort William?
It's kind of mid-season.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a gnarly date for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'll see how your season's going. Yeah. And
we'll see how it's going.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I don't want to really break myself mid-season. So
totally.
We'll see how that would happen, but I don't know.
It sounds like you've probably got an invite this time around.
I did. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And do you think kind of racing hardline, it's helped like for your mental game coming into the first World Cup of the year?
I don't know. Not really my mental game. I don't know. I just, maybe if there's like bigger hits on the tracks or I don't know. I just feel more confident doing them and just checking them off right away. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I feel good on the bike and I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. So it kind of helps you with like knowing that you can just get to a feature and kind of tick it off more quickly maybe, which makes it easier for track, like to get the track down more quickly if you can spend less time looking at features and just go and ride them.
Definitely. And even like the speed, I was like going, like the speed at Hardline is so fast. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'll use less brakes at the World Cups now. Yeah, we'll see.
That new TRP brake sponsor, they're like, what? You're not going to use us at all?
Yeah. Yeah, the brakes are super good, actually. It's nice. Big fan.
And so World Cups, Crankworx Whistler, maybe Hardline in Wales. What do you think of that course? Do you think it looks more intimidating or kind of similar?
Yeah, it definitely – it looks – I've walked it before.
Oh, really?
To a Red Bull camp in Wales.
Oh, cool.
At Devi, but yeah, when I walked it, like, I think it was, like, 2 years ago now, I was like, Kia, I'm never riding this in my life. But now that, I don't know, I've, like, hit the Tasmania track, it's – yeah, my mind has changed a bit, but – I find it more intimidating for sure, I think, just because it's always wet and slick and yeah, and it's like the dirt, it's like chunky rocks, it's like not even really dirt, so I don't know, it's intimidating for sure.
Yeah, but maybe a little bit more achievable now that you've ticked off.
I'm definitely feeling more confident if I were to go there, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
And there's bigger jumps on the end of that track, I think, as well, that they added.
Yeah,
right?
They're like 100 feet or something.
Yeah, I think I read like 86 or something was what they added in.
Is it? Okay,
2022. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So they're pretty big.
They're sizable.
have you ever thought of like the Fest series events? Like, would you like to go and like do those kinds of events as well?
Yeah, I'd be super keen to go to those as well. But yeah, maybe I'll go to the Fest series next year.
Yeah. We got to fit it all into your – because these are your priority right now.
It's racing is my priority, so yeah. We'll see. Yeah.
And you have a couple more years with Norco, or do you know, like, is your contract for this coming year, or what's your
– yeah, I have a few more years with Norco.
Nice.
Yeah.
with your new teammate, Greg Minar. And then you're also, is it Luca?
Yeah, Lucas Cruz. Lucas,
yeah, who's on your team as well. And he was there last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so is it a pretty good team vibes and feelings that you've got with the Norco crew?
Definitely. Yeah. This year it's like kind of revamped and there's some new things going on. So yeah, it's super. Yeah, I'm hyped. It'll be really good.
Yeah. And it sounds like you've got kind of the engineering team as well backing
you. Oh, yeah. They're insane. And like Kirk McDowell, he was, he helped like engineer the bike. He was like the test pilot or whatever for it. And he'll be racing this year, all the World Cup. So.
So he'll be there if you have any tech questions as well.
Yeah, he'll be there.
Yeah, so he's the engineer and he also is going to race the World Cups, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. And I think like the rest, like Colin and Adrian, and I think the rest of them will come to most of the World Cups too. So yeah, it'll be good.
And so last year you were 7th overall.
Yeah.
And the year before in junior, you won the overall. So was it? What were your kind of thoughts coming into that first year elite? Did you think that you could kind of hit the podium, or kind of like what were you hoping coming into last season?
Coming to last season, I definitely wanted to get a top five and hopefully top five overall. That didn't happen, but I don't know. I think this year it's definitely achievable. The progression of the women's side is insane now. Like, it's like tripled in the past like 3 years, I swear. But it's super cool. Like, I'm excited to get going and see where I land.
Yeah. And so last season, do you think you had the speed and were making mistakes? Or was it just like there was, you know, people who were faster than you and you did, you know, the best, you had your best run? Or like, do you think you could have hit the podium one day, or what was your season kind of like? Yeah. Were you satisfied?
I wasn't satisfied really at any of them, if I'm being honest. But yeah, mid-season at Nationals in Fernie, I had a pretty bad accident or crash, I guess, and I didn't break anything, but I was like, my back and neck were a bit iffy. I was pretty sore for like the rest of the season, so that kind of sucked. But yeah, I think I was riding at like 70%, if that. So it wasn't ideal.
For the second half of the season.
Yeah, Fort Bill, and then after that. So yeah, Val d'Isol, I was doing good, and then I went over the bars, which that sucked. I was like, I think I would have got second, but it would have been close between me and Valley. So,
wow. So that's
a sore spot for me. This year, I'll get some redemption. So,
yeah, first race of the season. Do you find it takes you a little bit to like get a couple races under your belt before you start feeling like you've got the race speed, or are you kind of like ready to start off?
I feel like I'm
kind
of ready to go when we start. Like last year, my first Elite World Cup ever, I got sixth, which I don't know, I wasn't mad with. I was pretty stoked. Like, I was like, okay, I'm pretty close.
I'm gonna get that podium, definitely. I'm starting right off the podium.
That never came, but this year for sure I'll get on there some point.
Yeah. Hopefully. So that's kind of the goal, is to get a World Cup podium this year, and then it would be secondary to kind of getting
a win.
Getting a win or kind of going to hardline or doing kind of like those, because it almost seemed like you could have had a free ride career before getting into racing. You still could have a free ride career, or do you ever kind of like think of being a free racer? I guess it's like
I know doing both is hard, but like before I started racing, I was like, oh yeah, free riding, like that's what I want to do. But then I did like some Crankworx events when I was like 11, and I was like, oh, okay, racing's actually super sick. So yeah, I don't know. I'm super interested in both, but yeah, definitely my priority is racing for now. And if I enter any free ride events, that's cool too. But
yeah, because I think that was how I heard about your name first, was Katie Holden said this is Gracie. You should do a getting to know with Gracie Hemstreet. I think it was like 2021 or something. And I think it was ahead of the Proving Grounds event. And so I kind of had you pegged as like, she's going to be a free rider, but you've definitely become a downhill racer, but it's cool that you can kind of meld everything and not just be kind of pegged as one type of rider.
Yeah, I try.
You try. Crankworks Whip Off, you've definitely got some style.
That one's a fun one. It's I've only been in one Whip Off so far, but I'm excited to go on more.
Nice. Yeah, the last Whip Off you did, that's when you got presented with your Red Bull helmet, right?
Yeah. That was like the best day ever. it was a super cool day. Yeah, but I got Sarah to live off too, so I wasn't complaining.
Yeah, so you got there to Whip Off, you got presented with your Red Bull helmet, and it was a beautiful day, and I'm sure it was lots of fun to hit all those jumps with friends.
Oh, it was the best. Yeah.
And do you feel any more pressure kind of having that Red Bull helmet, or is it just like added support, or what does that
I don't think it's added pressure. It's honestly just more support. Like with my training, I have Damien and I have Gracie and my Red Bull manager. Yeah, they're awesome people. It's just great support.
So they kind of help you with your like physical training, like in the gym and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I get all my programming from Damien Maroney, and he's a super rad dude. So it's cool. It's really good to work with him.
Yeah, and so throughout the winter, you've been riding your bike, you've been going to the gym, and it's kind of like your full focus now that you're done school, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's very fun. Yeah, and do you ever think of like that you would want to? I was talking to Valerie, and she said she's doing like a course here and there. Is that something that you're interested in, or are you kind of like done with school for now?
I'm kind of done with it for now, but maybe in like the future, maybe even next year. I don't know. I mean, like my mom's a paramedic, so I kind of wanted to take I don't even know the name of it right now, but my schooling to maybe work in first responders. So yeah, that could be cool. Yeah, or maybe get air brakes to drive a dump truck for my dad or something, but
yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, so it sounds like your family's pretty supportive of your racing career.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have a couple siblings as well that do they both ride, or?
My brother, I got him a bike for Christmas. He's finally back on a bike now.
Nice.
He's actually really good at it, but he's, doesn't like the racing.
Yeah. He's like, Gracie's faster than me. Why would I ever race again? Right? Little sister.
Maybe. I might be faster than him. I don't know.
Cool. Well, I guess, like, what do you think it would take to kind of get more women into events like Red Bull Hardline and to do full top to bottom runs? Like, how do we see more progression?
Well, I think now that, like, girls know it can be done, I think it definitely gives them a bigger range of goals, maybe. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just so fun. I don't know why wouldn't you? It's sick. Like, yeah, I don't know.
And so you just grew up kind of riding really big jumps, and so you're comfortable on them. Do you think there's other girls and women like coming up that are in the same boat where they've just kind of like are super comfortable on those big features? And you think it's just riding them a lot, or having more events, or how do we? How did you get so good?
I just grew up at the Gravity Park, and I rode with like all the boys at Curtis and Dylan and Brandon and Howie and R-Dog, and I just followed the boys down the jump trails like my whole childhood. So
it's a pretty unique learning experience. Yeah, most people probably won't be able to replicate your learning curve here if they want to take notes, right?
Just laps on laps, party laps. That's how I that's how I learned to jump. But just having fun, not really putting any pressure on yourself, but working hard and having fun.
But you do like that competitive part of
racing
as well. Like, you're a pretty competitive person. So first race is coming right up between now and then. Are you doing some more party laps and training in the gym? And what's your calendar look like?
Yeah, I'm going to Portugal on the 21st of March. And just until then, I'm home in the gym every day and hopefully riding if the snow doesn't come back. And fingers crossed for that one. But basically just training and waiting until Portugal.
And then after Portugal, you come home for a bit, or are you going to stay in Europe?
We're there just over a week, and then I come home, and then we go to Scotland pretty shortly after that, I believe. So
awesome. Well, best of luck with your season. And, it seems like you've got up to speed on your Fox suspension. So I can't wait to see what you can do on that bike once you've got your test cam under the way. Well, and looking forward to catching up sometime this summer, and hopefully you can finally get that World Cup elite podium. Awesome. Well, great to talk to you, and
you too.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
You as well. Thank you.